today we are going to finish the public hearing on the Land Use Board of Appeals and go into work session on the budget. And to start out in the public hearing session, we'd like to have Mr. Basham come forward from the Land Use Board, the chair of the Land Use Board, and talk to us about some responses to questions that were raised yesterday during the hearing.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. First of all, I thank the committee for the thoughtful questions yesterday. I hope I answered them as well as I could. There was a specific question from Representative Hayden.
Thank you.
I handed in some material that I hope responds to that. The question, as I recall, was to determine how many LUBA opinions effectively favor the applicant or the landowner. And we went to our database and tried to pull up that information, but we don't code for who's an applicant, and we're unable to do that. I did what I could do, which was to go back for the last 2 months and manually look at each of the opinions that went out in those 2 months and try to figure out who prevailed. And that's depicted in the sheet I gave you. Some explanation, figuring out who won and who lost depends upon, from the perspective of the landowner, depends upon whether the landowner is the petitioner or whether he's an intervener, intervening on the side of the local government. If you're a landowner and you are the petitioner, the result you want is to reverse or remand the decision. If you are intervening on the side of the local government and you want to prevail, the result you want is a dismissal or an affirm on the merits. And so with that in mind, I went through the 34 cases that were final opinions that were issued in those 2 months, and in bold are the cases where the applicant or landowner prevailed, and there are about 21 of the 34. I should explain also there's, in some cases, the local government is sort of in the shoes of the applicant, either because they've literally filed an application for some development within the jurisdiction, or it's a legislative decision. They're doing a zoning code amendment, and there's no real property at issue, but someone, a petitioner, appeals that.
Thank you. I like that. Thank you.
Was that that was the extent of the questions?
I believe it was. That's the only.
I think it was.
Main question I recall. I'd be glad to answer any other questions.
I just
Representative Krieger.
I wasn't here yesterday. I look at this. That means that. To say that the prevailing party, two thirds of the time, is the landowner, is the. In other words, are you just to say that they're losing a third of the time? I mean, two thirds of the time, LUBA.
Madam Chair, Representative Krieger, no. What this shows, I believe, is that about 21 of the 34, and I'm assuming that's it's a representative sample. It's hard to tell with just 2 months worth, but in 21 of the 34 cases here, the applicant or landowner prevailed, is the prevailing party. So I guess it would be approximately two thirds of the time. An applicant or landowner is going to prevail in front of LUBA. And
so, Madam Chair, so we can tell our folks at home there's hope. There's hope. Go to LUBA. You get a fair shake. Is that what we can tell them?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, I certainly would hope so.
Okay, thank you.
They will get a fair shake.
Now, Madam Chair, as I remember, LUBA heard during some period of time 244 cases out of 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 10,000, 10,000 filed applications, and only 244 eventually got up to you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
We got into some discussions yesterday in the hearing about the price of the publication that you sell to the law libraries. And I was curious as to whether there was room to generate more revenue for the department if you raised the price of that. Can you talk to us about how you set the price and what the parameters are on that situation?
I'll try, Madam Chair. The price, I believe, from the get-go was about $100 per volume. I don't know how that was determined to be the appropriate price. 1995, the price was raised to $175, and I believe that was done in the context of discussions with the legislature, and the intent there was to cover the costs, which I guess were increasing at that point, cover the costs of publication, and maintain the volume as a self-sustaining volume. What we saw from that, there was about a subscriber base of about 125 people in law libraries at that time. We subsequently lost a number of those subscribers, and the subscriber base went down to about 75. Probably some of that was due to the price increase. Some of it may have been due to the increased availability of electronic research. It's hard to say. We haven't considered the possibility of raising the price. Quite frankly, in an ideal world, I'd like to reduce it so that it's more affordable. My concern in increasing it, of course, would be that it would diminish the subscriber base further and actually would reduce the overall revenue stream. Fundamentally, what happened in 1995, we wound up cutting our revenue stream a fair amount because the subscriber loss was more than the additional funds that we received. I hope that answers your question.
Representative Nolan, did you have any questions?
Well, I didn't think I did, but I'd like to follow up on your line of questioning, Madam Chair, if I might. Is it fair for me to interpret from what you just said that you think there would be an interest? You now distribute fewer than 100 copies of this?
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, yes.
Do I understand you correctly then to suggest that you think that if the price were lower per back to 100 or 125, that there would be a much more significant interest in having this volume distributed around the state? And here's where I'm getting to, and let me give you the whole context before I ask you to answer piecemeal questions. The question would be, if you're distributing roughly 100 of these now and you think maybe there would be an interest of 300 if you lowered the price, would the marginal cost of printing and binding those additional 200 units be less than the marginal, make up for the changed revenue stream that you'd have if you lowered the price?
Chair, Representative Nolan, that's an interesting question. I guess by way of comparison, I would look to the Court of Appeals. They also, of course, publish a bound volume. They have, I believe, thousands of subscribers around the state and possibly also around the country. Their cost, my understanding, is $35 a volume. And each volume contains about 3 months' worth of opinions. Their printing costs, we both use the state printer and the state binder, so the printing costs are about the same. I think what that $35 cost represents is the margin. There's so many thousands of copies that are printed that the price per volume is quite low. Our biggest problem is that our subscriber base is so limited, with only 75 subscribers, that the price per volume is quite high compared to the printing costs. I don't know if a reduction in price would increase the subscriber base. I suspect it would some. I'm not sure it would be dramatic. The primary recipients are the law libraries and land use attorneys. There's several hundred land use attorneys in the state. I think they'd be the primary basis for increasing subscribers. So I suspect there's a finite limit to how many subscribers we can.
Are your rulings available on your website?
Madam Chair, Representative Nolan, yes, they are. We put our slip opinions on our website. They don't contain the pagination, the head notes, the other material that goes with the bound volume, so they're not as useful. They're difficult to cite, for one thing, because the pages are different. But they are available as a quick reference for recent decisions. And if you don't, for some reason, don't have access to a bound volume, you're not located close to a county law library, but you do have internet access, and my understanding is that
the issue is the Senate.
Or if I can see the internet access,
it's
a good fallback.
Here he is.
Oh, you were a quorum.
Oh, I'm a quorum. Okay.
Hello there.
Can you
thank you. You do need
that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that means me, but you need
you have a quorum.
Yeah.
Well, I'm tired. Do you mind if I sit down? I mean,
are you good? It's nice to see you. Is this work session?
Represented Westland here, though.
We are not quite in a work session yet. We were waiting until you showed up.
Okay.
Representative Nolan, have you gotten your questions
answered? Yes, I did. Thank you.
What I will do then is to close the public hearing portion of this session and open a work session, and we will ask LFO right now to review LFO's recommended budget with us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I've handed out to you a set of three items. One is a memo from Legislative Fiscal Office that looks like this. Attached to it is a spreadsheet, and attached to that is a how the bill hand engrossed would look. It's a hand engrossed bill based on the LFO recommendations as requested by Representative Hayden yesterday. So, at this time, I'd like to go through this with you. Just to review the governor's recommended budget, again, it's a total of about $1.3 million, and that's a 12.7% increase from 9901 estimated, and about a 7.2% increase from the 2001-03 current service level. Again, LUBIC collects a filing fee for appeals, but that money is deposited directly into the general fund and is not part of the agency's budget. Except for that revenue transfer. And that fee was increased in 1997 by the legislature from $50 to $175, and the citation is listed in the memo. If you'd like to turn to the spreadsheet for a moment, I'll just go through this with you and show you where the recommended changes are. This agency, it's only a one-program agency, so there's only a summary sheet on the top, which shows the LFO recommendation of $1.2 million general fund, which is a 3.6% reduction from the governor's recommended budget. And a total funds of about $1.3 million, which is a 3.5% reduction from the governor's recommended budget. On the next page two of the spreadsheet, we can walk through the development of the budget from the 9901 LA legislatively adopted budget, which you see on the top line. Emergency board actions, as you heard in the last couple days, there were a number of emergency board actions. Only two are reflected in this, and the other two are not, because they occurred after April of 2000, and that's the cutoff for inclusion in base budget. So the two that were not were the additional money provided for salary adjustments last September, and then the January 2001 rent adjustment that was made by the emergency board. Under base budget adjustments, you can see that we're recommending a reduction there based on the PERS rate change that you'll see in all budgets, and that's being taken in that administrative biennialized e-board line. The other reduction there, which is a part of the development of the budget, is the elimination of the limited duration copy editor position that you heard about yesterday. On the bottom of that page is essential packages. Package 010 is for vacancy factor and non-personal service expenditures, and that was an increase in the governor's budget of $1,033. On the following page, there are other what are known as essential packages. 020 is a phase out, and this is the phase out of the other funds expenditures for professional services for development of the publications. The agency used to use professional service contract to do that, and that's what the copy editor position did for them during the 9901 biennium. And then finally, there's an inflation and price list adjustment essential package, which shows one change by legislative fiscal, which is a change to the facility rent calculation based on some additional information that we received about that. Part of this, the size of this increase in that you see in the governor's recommended budget and following into the LFO recommended budget is due to that last emergency board item where the rent was not calculated properly for last biennium, and so there's been a base budget or there's been an adjustment in this budget to bring that level up so that the agency is, has enough in their budget to pay for those fixed rent costs. That leads to a current service level, a revised current service level of roughly $1.2 million general fund and $35,000 other funds. There are two packages in the governor's recommended budget. One is a program reduction package, and this is where there's a reduction made of $12,000 in a special payment that's made to the Public Utility Commission for support services. That had been included in the budget at $25,000, but based on actual expenditures, it was determined that the agency only needed roughly $13,000, so this reduction was included in the governor's budget. The governor's budget includes a policy option package 101 for the publications copy editor at $75,000 general fund. The legislative fiscal's recommendation is to continue that position as limited duration for 1 year and provide a special appropriation to the emergency board for the second year and direct the agency to report on some of its performance measures. And when we get back to the memo, there'll be I can show you language that we're proposing for that. And then finally, we're proposing a reduction in miscellaneous service and supplies in non-fixed accounts such as travel, expendable property, and other services and supplies of approximately $4,560. This represents about 3% of the agency's services and supplies budget.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Hannah.
Mr. Rocco, could I ask some questions? And I apologize to the other committee members for not being in here when this was discussed. I have a list here. It says 34 cases.
This is only for the last 2 months.
Last 2 months. What is the average caseload per month?
Could I have somebody ask? Could the director come forward, please?
Todd Basham, I'm board chair, Madam Chair, Senator. The appeals, at number of appeals filed last year was 269. The average
year.
Per year. The average over the last 5 or 6 years, I think, is about 240 or 250.
And what is the time length to deal with the average case? 10 days, 3 days?
Our statute requires that we issue a final, Madam Chair, Senator, our statute requires that we issue a final opinion no later than 77 days past the date that the record is settled, local record is submitted to LUBA and settled. In the past, LUBA has met with that deadline. There was a doubling of the caseload in the early 1990s. LUBA fell behind very significantly. At one point, about 2 years ago, it took about 150 days on average past the 77-day deadline in order to issue a final opinion. With additional staffing, we've been able to reduce that considerably. As of December 2000, the average resolution time was about 21 days. Past the 77-day deadline, still late, has continued to fall since then, and we are hopeful that within a couple of months that we will begin issuing opinions within the 77-day deadline.
Within the statutory requirement?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Second thing is, I noticed in 97 we increased the fee for the appeal. And my question is, that was almost 4 years ago, and inflation has gone up, your budget is going up 12%. Why hasn't the appeal rate been compensated at the same rate of inflation that your budget is increasing? So it more accurately reflects that if people bring caseloads to you, they're actually paying for the work to be done.
Madam Chair, Senator, the legislature, as you noted, decided 4 years ago to raise the appeal rate from, I believe it was $100 to $175. I believe that decision reflected certain policy considerations, one, to increase the rate to both to cover inflation and to ensure that only parties who are serious about appealing a matter do so. There was also some consideration of keeping the filing fee low enough so that it doesn't restrict access to appellate review. Since that time, I don't believe there's been any consideration by the legislature about increasing that rate. It may be appropriate to do so.
Okay. And the third thing I have to raise is the printing cost. Who are the typical individuals who access information that require part of the printing cost? Are those attorneys and land use specialists?
Madam Chair, Senator, we sell about 75 volumes of the published LUBA reports to subscribers. Most of those subscribers are law libraries, county law libraries, or university law libraries. The remainder typically go to law firms or lawyers. So the actual recipients, the users of it, I assume that the users of the law volume that are in the law libraries are the general public or perhaps attorneys who don't subscribe.
Okay. My next question then is the actual cost of creating the publications and what they're being charged. When was the last time the fee increase for the access of the publications?
Madam Chair, Senator, the fee was raised in 1995. It was, I believe, about $100 and was raised to $175 at that point. We had about 125 subscribers, and perhaps in part because of the fee increase, we lost subscribers and then went down to about a base of 75. Since that time, that increase was done in discussion with the legislature. Since that time, LUBA hasn't considered raising the price per volume, and I discussed earlier our reasons for doing so. Our concern is if we increase the price too much, it'll actually have a negative effect and we'll lose more subscribers. Delicate balancing there, but if the legislature wishes to consider that, we certainly would.
Is people able to access on the internet your land use decisions?
Madam Chair, Senator, yes, starting about a year ago, we obtained some funding from the state bar to upgrade our web page.
So why should I pay $175 when I can access it on the internet?
Madam Chair, Senator, I guess one answer is that people do. The law libraries still want those volumes. The law firms that are regular subscribers still want those volumes. The volumes contain different versions of the slip opinions. They're paginated, they contain headnotes, they contain research materials. The versions that are obtainable on the web page are slip opinions, which are sort of preliminary versions, and they're not as useful, although they are very useful.
The only question, and I raise this, Madam Chair, is if we increase the fees and everybody drops off because all of a sudden they can access it on the internet. And why should I pay $175 when I can pull it up on my computer screen and access it on the internet? And this highlights part of the problem of e-commerce. people are accessing all these government services and we're subsidizing and paying for it. And all these attorneys and law firms are accessing all these legal documents, and they're in essence they're getting a free ride at our paycheck. So I just only raise that for the committee members once you realize that this is a general fund budget that substantially is funded by general fund, not actual cost recovery. So we think, well, geez, those that ought to appeal, let them pay for it. But it doesn't work that way. So we take away from elderly, the infirm, and disabled, and we take money away from them and we give it to lawyers and attorneys and so I just raise an issue for you.
Madam Chair, with all due respect, Mr. Senator, I think that we've listened to a lot of testimony over the last day, and I don't think it's that cut and dry. I mean, what we've heard is that the issue is what you get on the internet is not what you get in a book. So with all due respect, I think we've actually heard a lot more detail that makes me comfortable that we're doing good work.
Well, we're doing this on our library services. We're doing it on our judicial services. We're doing it on a lot of services. And I just point out the fact that we're providing a free service. It used to be that everything was fee-driven. When I first started LUBA, and I was a sponsor of the legislation in 1977 to create LUBA, it's supposed to be self-supporting.
Well, we, ha-
now
we have
it's 98% general fund support.
Right.
So, well, that's you know, I've been there, done that.
Uh-huh. I appreciate
been around
that.
The horn.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank
that.
You, Senator. I appreciate you stepping in. Mr. Rockall, if you could continue with Malifaux's recommendation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If we can refer to bottom of the memo, page one, I can summarize for you again what the LFO recommendation is. Basically, it's a 3.8% increase from the current service level, revised current service level, and a reduction of 3.5% from the governor's recommended budget. And these, the recommendation includes a reduction of $45,692 general fund and a small $47 other fund reduction. And I'd like to point out that these reductions are really overstated because the recommendation is to provide a $37,433 special purpose appropriation to the emergency board for the Land Use Board of Appeal. And to cover the costs of the publication editor position for the second year of the biennium. Now, when you receive a budget report showing this agency's recommended budget, if this is the course that the committee decides to take, it will show that that is a reduction to the agency's budget. However, at the bottom of the budget report, it will show that there's a certain amount appropriated to the emergency board. So, in effect, this is not a true reduction to the agency's budget because it's likely the emergency board, if they get a positive response on performance measure reports from the agency, would include that, would allocate that money to them later. So I just wanted to bring that out so it doesn't appear to be a cut to their budget to the full extent that it shows on some of the numbers here. Under the general program, under number 1A, LFO is also recommending a technical adjustment to establish an other funds donation and grant revenue account. This was for the $5,000 that the agency discussed with you that was received as a grant from the state bar, and it was incorrectly included as sales income to the agency. So we're recommending a direction that be affixed in the adopted budget. Under 1B, there is the base budget reduction due to the PERS employer contribution rate of $1,931. 1C is a reduction of the current service level budget due to the adjustment in the rent calculation of $1,634. We're recommending approval of that reduction package in the governor's budget of reducing the special payment to the Public Utility Commission by $12,000. Under 1E is the language related to the policy package 101 for the publications editor, which would continue the position as limited duration for the first year of the biennium, which would reduce it to 0.05 FTE, provide the special purpose appropriation to the emergency board for the second year of the position. Included in those amounts are the adjustments for the PERS rate contribution, and that's why there's that small $47 reduction in other funds. And then adds budget report direction to the agency to report to the emergency board on its progress in meeting performance measure goals related to the timeliness of publications and the processing of appeals within statutory timeframes, as was discussed at yesterday's meeting, where the agency believes that by later in this biennium, they should be within those timeframes. On page 3, under 1F, is the recommended LFO adjustment to reduce expenditures in the non-fixed service and supplies accounts by $4,560. This would come out of categories such as in-state travel, expendable property, and other miscellaneous services and supplies. Number 2 is another recommendation from LFO with respect to the practice of filling vacant board member positions at the top step of the salary range. We feel that the agency should follow state policies in this regard, and the state policy is that you normally fill in the bottom half of the salary range. If it is the case that the referee position should be filled at the top step, then we believe they should work within the state system to get a one-step salary range, so that there is no misunderstanding about this in the future. So we're recommending that the agency be directed to either follow those guidelines or work with human resources to adjust their pay scales appropriately. And then finally, in section, not finally, but number 3, are recommended changes to the appropriation bill. And I've hand-engrossed the bill so that you can see how those would appear, including the specific language needed to provide the emergency board special purpose appropriation. The results would be changing the general fund appropriation to $1,217,227, changing the other funds expenditure limitation to $60,747, and then providing a special purpose appropriation of $37,433 to the emergency board.
Questions or comments?
Madam Chair.
Representative Crow.
I am regrettably going to say that I am not going to vote in favor of this budget for the following reason. But before I do that, I want to say that I do appreciate the direction that that LUBA has gone. I think they've done a great job in reducing the timeline issue, and I think that's there to be commended for that. The reason I'm going to vote no is very, very simple. As a businessman, this last year I've had to make very, very hard choices in my business because of a difficult economic time. We are faced with that again in the state's budget. I am opposing spending $101,131 for the publication editor position because I feel that we have made some very difficult choices that are hurting real people. Senior citizens, Oregon Youth Authority, a lot of areas that I think needed attention also. Having said that, I also realize that if we were to not fund that, it would create problems for the agency. It would continue that backlog, and we would not be able to get down to that statutory time. I fully recognize that. However, in my view, there are other issues that take preeminence over this one. And that is the human cost issue of seniors in their homes, like Project Independence. So therefore, I feel that we should not spend this money in this manner on this particular issue only in this budget. Because of that, I will be unable to vote for it.
Thank you, Representative Krupp. I would remind you that increasing the backlog to the agency will also cause hardship to the people that are trying to get their cases resolved through this process also.
Recognized. Thank you.
The chair, if there are no other comments, will accept a motion.
Madam Chair, I'd like to make the motion that we accept the legislative fiscal officer's recommendation and move this budget forward as recommended to the full Ways and Means Committee with the past recommendation.
Any comments at this point?
Point of clarification, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Does the Senator's motion include adopting all the notes, even the ones that do not have a fiscal impact on the budget?
Madam Chairman, if I may respond to Representative Nolan. Yes, ma'am. All recommendations, including the recommendation that the agency revise its automatic policy of filling board positions at the highest step level or adopt a one-step level so that people know going in that that's going to be their salary rate. But yes, ma'am, all of the notes.
Thanks for the clarification.
Did you have a further
to
comment?
To the motion, then?
Yes.
I'm not going to campaign for my point of view, but I would like to divide that question and vote separately on that very note, because I will support the guts of the recommendation from LFO, but I think telling them how to fill their professional positions in a very tiny agency that doesn't have the flexibility that somebody like ODAT does to average things out feels too much like micromanagement to me that I don't want to participate in. But I will vote for most of the Senator's motion, and I'd like to go on record as opposing that particular note.
Madam Chairman, yes vote on most of the motion is a good vote, and I think the micromanagement is an issue that we all struggle with, and I agree we shouldn't micromanage these agencies. So the admonition is just to make consistent their practice. So, but I think the point is well made. But I think the yes vote's the important part.
I agree, and I think that it's that this is not so much to micromanage the amount that they allow as salaries, but rather to bring them in conformance with standard state policy, and that if they do want to start at the top of their salary range, they need to bring that in conformance with state policy.
Not to belabor the point, Madam Chair, but if there may be a time when they want the grades and we've essentially forced them to pay at the top, they lose the opportunity to be frugal in the future.
Senator Dukes.
Just sort of a point of clarification. What I thought I heard was Representative Nolan make a motion to divide the question.
You're more eloquent than I am.
Maybe I
didn't actually make the motion. I suggested that we divide the question. And maybe
that's different, because that is a parliamentary procedure. Right. There are two issues, and you could do it.
Those two separate issues.
Yes, yeah, the monetary and the non-monetary.
She could actually divide the question on that and call for the vote on the on the budget no recommendation.
And does that require a separate motion to do that?
Yes.
Unless.
Do you wish to make that motion?
Yes, Madam Chair. I will move to divide the question.
The question has been divided. So we will.
Madam Chair, you have two issues in the motion. One is a monetary issue, one is a non-monetary issue, and I think that's what the representative is trying to divide. So
exactly. I'd like to divide out only paragraph 2 on page 3 of LFO's memo.
So we just take it as two separate votes.
You actually have to vote on dividing the question.
Right, exactly.
We will first have our vote on dividing the question, which means that we will consider recommendation 2 on page 3 separately from the rest of the recommendations. And will the staff please call the roll on that question?
Senator Dukes.
Aye.
Senator Ferriola.
Aye.
Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Representative Hayden.
No.
Representative Krupp.
No.
Representative Bowman.
Aye.
Representative Krieger.
No.
Representative Nolan.
Are we voting on whether to divide?
Yes,
or?
Ma'am.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Chair Morgan.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Now we will vote on the motion about whether to accept the LFO recommendation regarding the salary scale. And
Madam Chair, question. I had thought that Representative Nolan was anxious that we be able to follow the least cost, and is not the recommendation that they follow state policy standards so that they do start them at, they can start them at a lower step.
Representative Nolan?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, I don't want to tell the agency how to manage, and I respect that a small agency has much less flexibility. So all I want to do is not tell them that they have to either go to the top, have to create a single step, or they have to fill at the mid-range. I don't feel qualified to make that direction to
them. So point of clarification on the memo for the motion. The motion would be then simply to drop the recommendation altogether and be silent on that recommendation. Is that?
No, as I understand it, we now have two motions. We've divided your motion into two. And the first motion is to approve this language, on which I am going to vote no.
Or not.
Or not.
Right.
Well, I understand the motion is to approve it.
That was my motion.
Right. And so we've divided that. And you have one motion now that says approve everything else, and we've taken a piece out that says approve just that paragraph.
And what we are voting on right now is approval of Section 2 on page 3 that has to do with salary ranges.
Thanks,
yes.
Madam Chair.
Thank you.
That clarifies.
Further comments?
Yes, Madam Chair. I'm still confused. It seems to me that if we keep this now, the administrator made a casual mention that maybe they might want to come to some ruling legislative authority and get permission to have a single step, but that's not part of the written proposal. What we're voting on here is that they should not automatically vote at the top step, but they should have the discretion of following state policy. We're basically voting to not follow state policy here.
Okay.
Am I correct?
Further discussion? Will the staff please call the roll?
Senator Dukes.
Start with me, huh?
Take your time. I think the rest of us are trying to make up our minds too, okay?
Well, I had it made up about two speakers ago.
until Representative Hayden's comment.
I knew what I was doing.
Aye.
Senator Fairley.
You know, I thought I had constrained you. And I vote includes the recommendation of
yes.
So I am an aye.
Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Representative Hayden.
I'd like to hear the motion restated, please.
The motion is a yes vote on the motion will leave this language in the recommendation.
Votes aye.
Representative Crook.
Aye.
Representative Bowman.
My turn, huh? Aye.
Representative Krieger.
Aye.
Representative Nolan.
No.
Chair Morgan.
Aye.
Motion passes.
Now we have the rest of the motion. A yes vote on the motion will accept the balance of LFO's recommended changes to the budget.
And Madam Chairman, if the chairman please, I don't mind if we oscillate our votes. I know that if we do them alphabetically, Senator Dukes will vote before me always. I don't mind if we go back and forth on these things.
Well, this way it looks like you're taking my lead. I'd rather do that than the other way around.
Maybe, Madam Chair, if you'd like to just say, Senators, how do you vote?
With the committee staff, please call the roll.
Senators.
Aye. Senator Farrelly votes aye.
Senator Dukes is recorded as aye, and Senator Farrelly is aye. Representative Hansen.
Aye.
Representative Hayden.
Aye.
Representative Krupp.
No.
Representative Bowman.
No.
Representative Krieger.
No.
Representative Nolan?
Aye.
Chair Morgan?
Sit down, Ted.
Motion passes.
There being no, oh, we need carriers.
Carriers, yeah.
Full Ways and Means, I will carry this one.
Better find somebody that understands it.
And we're going to ask you questions on the floor, too.
The committee will be asking questions.
Well, isn't it traditional to assign the first bill to a no vote on the House side?
I would like to assign it to Representative Nolan to carry on the House side. And I would like to assign it to Senator Farioli to carry on the Senate side.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
No. Representative Morgan is going to carry it to Ways and Means, and if it survives there, I will carry it on the floor.
Well, this has been a long, strange trip through this budget. Are there any further issues or business to bring before the committee? Senator Farioli?
I was absent from much of the discussion that led to our vote, but I wanted to commend all of the committees for considering the issues, and it is a question of policy often. And I respect to Representative Krupp's reservations and Representative Nolan's questioning of the micromanagement of agencies. Just to remind everybody that when we're at the beginning of the legislative session, as we are, I know it's the fourth week already, but everything that we do will affect every dollar in every other budget. And it's one of those things you can spend the money, but you're spending it out of education or senior services or some other thing. So I really appreciate the difficult work the chairs are doing to try to keep our budgets on track. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Rock?
Madam Chair, I'd just like to remind the committee that beginning Monday, the State Marine Board will be in front of the committee, and I have a schedule of next week's events for you. And there will be no meeting tomorrow.
Thank you very much. Any other issues?
Is there any general
no for the business before the committee? I'm